We're going to start with a slide that's got Luke chapter 4, 21 through 30. What about that, Duck? You just got through reading that a minute ago. I thought, well, what about that? So we're going to look at it again this morning. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha and the prophet, yet none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." That's a lot happening in a few passages of Scripture right there. A lot to get to. But we'll try our best. Can anybody tell me what today is? What? Sunday. Not a soul said Super Bowl Sunday. They said Sunday. You know, I'm proud of you, huh? Oh, one did say Super Bowl Sunday. Well, I know it's on your mind. I know you're thinking about it. Super Bowl Sunday. Is it the Patriots and the who? The Falcons. So this sermon's not about the ball game, I assure you. But it is a big day, isn't it? Somebody was telling me, I think it was Dad, he said, "I heard this is going to make it a national holiday on Monday." Now, I don't know where he got that. Have y'all heard that? I don't know either. He might have been dreaming or something. But anyway, a national holiday. Why I'm saying that to you is it's a big event, right? It's a big event. I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars spent. People are geared up for it. It's a big, big happening. Now, I know some of you could care less if they ever played another Super Bowl. I know some will watch bits and pieces and just go with the flow. But there's some that are diehard football fans, and you're extremely excited. You're geared up for this big day, Patriots and Falcons. Now, this scripture right here that we read, I guarantee you that over 2,000 years ago, they were some folks geared up. See, this is the reason I said all that earlier. These folks were geared up. They were excited. Something big is about to happen. This is a big happening right here. The people living in Nazareth, they were geared up. This guy named Jesus was coming around to their area, and he was going to speak in their hometown. The talk had been spreading. All the things that we hear leading up to a Super Bowl Sunday, well, all these things had been spreading throughout the countryside that this guy Jesus, he's coming to our hometown. It's going to be a big happening. He's going to do something great. So they were ready for it, and they were talking about it. And Jesus, he had been turning water into wine. He had been doing all sorts of things. He had healed. He had healed all kinds of folks in the region of Galilee. So you can imagine what these folks were thinking now. If this is what Jesus did for these folks over here in Capernaum, what's he going to do for us? Because we're hometown folks, you know. He did these signs and wonders for those folks, but he's going to do something even better for us. So they were going to be a witness, if you will, to a Super Bowl event. They were going to be witnessing something huge, something big, and they were ready for it. So Jesus stands up and he gets this scroll here and from the prophet Isaiah, and he read just what Doug read earlier this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor. Rolls the scroll back up, hands it to the attendant. He sits down to begin his sermon, if you will. And here's the church. Their eyes are on him. I mean, they're listening. They're paying attention. They've been hearing all this talk for all this time. A big event is here. And this is what he says to them. He says, today the scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. And wow, now what kind of claim is that? And all these people are ready to hear. And Jesus said, today the scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. And the people kind of say what? What are you talking about here? Today the scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. This is a big event right here. This is a great happening, and sometimes we just brush over it. The scripture says that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But then something happens. Something strange happens. Within a few verses here, within five verses, this big event took a huge turn, a dramatic turn. And here all these people were gathered and they were excited. They were amazed. They were praising. And then they heard those words that Jesus said there. And they were mad as a hornet, the old saying goes. They were full of rage. They said, I can't believe that this guy just said that. So they got up, drove him out of town, the scripture says, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could hurl him off the cliff. And you say, well, what happened here? How does this big event, this excitement, this man, Jesus is coming to our hometown, our region, and then in five short verses, they're ready to throw him over the cliff. What happened here? What took place? Why did they behave that way? It's kind of like the world we live in today. The world will tune our ears and our hearing and who we are if we're not careful instead of the Bible. And the world says, you deserve it all. The world says that, hey, you can have it your way. You can have it your way, your time. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's not about a greater cause. It's not about the world dying and people going to hell in our own country and around the world. Listen, it's about me. It's about what I think. It's about my way. It's about what I want to do, when I want to do it. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Life's all about me. Now, that's what the world tells us today. But the Bible tells us something different. The Bible talks about Christians in the early church suffering for the cause of Christ. The Bible talks about Christians sacrificing for the cause of Christ. The Bible talks about Jesus and our Savior and how he died on Calvary, he arose from the dead, all the miracles he did, and the people making fun of him, putting the thorns on his head, and on we could go about how Jesus suffered, but we forget that part because this is 2017. We don't have to go through that. And it's just kind of like these people thought, come on, Jesus, now we're hometown folks. It's all about me again. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I'm a good guy. What about me? What about me? And sometimes, if we're honest, we feel that way too. Jesus goes on with these two stories. And these two stories here is about the healing power of God and how he worked through Elijah and Elisha. both prophets of God, both performing miracles, and he tells that story. Elijah heals the poor widow woman, and Elisha a Gentile. And it's kind of like the people said, what's the point of all this, Jesus? What are you doing? You're saying you got power to heal like Elijah and Elisha, or what are you trying to tell us? Well, why did you waste your time on an old widow woman? And why did you go heal one that's not even of our kind? Why would you do that kind of thing? What's your point, Jesus? You're saying you got these powers, but what about me? What about me, Jesus? Now, have you ever felt that way? Now, it's okay to be human. After all, you can't be anything else except saved by the blood and a Christian, but you're still in human flesh. We know that. But this thing about me, it's all about me. Well, does Jesus love me? You better believe he does. Is Jesus the Son of God? You better believe he is. Is God upon his throne? Yes, indeed he is. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We have the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Is that true? You better believe it's true. But the fact of life that if we've lived any time at all, we know is that bad things happen to good people. Why? If you've got an answer to that, you can write another book. There's many on the market you can read that talks about why does bad things happen to good people. We cannot sometimes get that in our mind, into our heart, because if I'm good, if I'm a Christian, if I'm all these things, bad things shouldn't happen to me. Well, unfortunately, in a sin-cursed world where there is evil and there is a devil to contend with, bad things happen to good people. I don't understand life sometimes. I don't even like circumstances that happen to me or that happens to the body of Christ sometimes. I don't have to pretend to like it or understand it. But there's one thing I must hold on to, that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, love me, and they love you. Jesus loves you. God the Father loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And this idea that it's all about me is false. The idea that is that I deserve all this good is false. Now, Jesus gives us a lot of good. Jesus has protected me time and time again. Jesus has blessed me over and over and over again, more than I will ever deserve in my lifetime. I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve the mercy of God. I do not deserve the blessings that God has given me. And you don't either. You say, oh, now wait just a minute. I deserve it. You can say you don't deserve it, preacher, but I deserve it. I'm a good guy. I'm a this, I'm a that, of that. I'm not like them old people over there. The human race, sin entered the world, and we had a problem. We still have a problem in a sin-cursed world. But no matter what happens to you today, no matter what happens to you tomorrow, no matter what happens next year, the fact remains that God is still God. Jesus is still Jesus. The Holy Spirit is still working, and you are loved with an everlasting love by Almighty God. Well, why did this happen then, preacher? I've had people time and time again say, well, if this God's love, if this God's all this, why did that happen to me? And I don't know. I don't have the answer of the timing and why, but I know that God's still God no matter what happens to me. No matter what the physical condition is, the spiritual condition, God loves me. And I don't deserve the blessings that I have, and mankind don't. But we live in such a society, we live in such a culture that tells us it's all about me, it's what I want. Let's get to the bottom line. You know, the church people, not the church, but church people said we're going to have church on Wednesday night. Okay? That's a man-made thing. That's not in Scripture that you got to meet on Wednesday night. And you say, well, there ain't many coming anyway on Wednesday night. Well, I know that. I wish more of you would come on Wednesday night. But you're not going to hell because you don't come on Wednesday night. And you say, well, preacher, what are you doing? You're kind of going both ways with that. Listen, there's some things that we as human beings put in to what God has said, and then we think that's the way it's got to be all the time. I'm all for Wednesday night, but listen, times change, and the church, now hear this carefully, the church will have to change. Jones Chapel, we're going to have to change a few things that I have been praying over a year, and I do not have the answer on my own yet, and I know that you're praying with me. I trust that you are. How we will reach people. How we will reach people, and why don't people come on Wednesday night? Or why don't people do this? Why don't people do that? I don't understand all that. And I'm not saying that the people who don't come on Wednesday are terrible people now. Every time we meet together, we can benefit from the Word of God. Do you believe that? We can. I know there's benefit in it. But at the same time, we've got to make sure our focus is not just on Wednesday night. Our focus must be on the main thing. How can we reach the most people? How can we get out in this community? And do, I'm giving you two sermons here at one time. Forgive me. But what about me? See, the me might want to stay home on a Wednesday night or whatever. The me, yesterday morning, if it was up to me with my sinuses and the way I felt, I would not have come to men's prayer breakfast. That's the fact of it. I don't feel that way much because I like the morning better. I'm a morning person. I can handle it better. I'm clear then. But yesterday was a struggle. Now, why didn't I just stay in the bed and forget men's prayer breakfast? Why didn't you come to men's prayer breakfast as men yesterday if you had an opportunity? You tell me. So, you see, we get down to, we're looking at little parts here. But if it was up to me, yesterday I would have stayed home. You say, well, it was up to you. No, it wasn't up to me. It was up to the Spirit that lives inside me. And if I want to go bad enough, I think He'll help me get there. You say, well, you weren't as sick as you thought you was. Maybe not. But the me says, the world says, you do, Ron, what you want to do. When you want to do it and forget it. It's nobody else's business. It's certainly in this day and time not a preacher's business. Who's he? It's not the church's business if I do this or do that. Oh, yes, it is. It is the business of the body of Christ to love one another and to even come along and say, listen, you might benefit from some of these things because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So it is business. But the world says it's about me. Do what I want to do and forget it. And if I would have been living in those times, you know, what if I was expecting this great event to happen, and then Jesus has the nerve to stand up and say, today this scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing, and I'd be trying to understand that. And then all these happenings were going on here, what would have I thought? Well, what about me, Jesus? I'm a good person. What about me, Jesus? I'm the one who's fighting cancer right now. What about me, Jesus? I'm the one that's struggling in my faith right now with this issue over here, faith. What about me, Jesus? What are you going to do for me? What about the problems I have, Jesus? You was over here in Capernaum and you were performing all sorts of miracles. You were turning, you know, water into wine here a while back. You were healing people, and now you come here and what's happening? What's happening with us? What's happening in my life? I'm tired of bad things happening to me. I'm tired of you know, after all, I'm a Christian. And now my family members has passed away. My children are out of control. I lost my job. My health's not good. I'm broke and I'm lonely. What about me, Jesus? What are you going to do for me? Forget Elijah and Elisha over there. I'm a good person. Jesus, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Now look at this next slide. They lost their focus. This is a very important little 1, 2, 3, 4 words here. They lost their focus. They were so focused on themselves. They were so focused on me, 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 as our generation today is. They lost their focus. They lost a kingdom focus. They lost the focus that God would have them to have, and it's happening in our own land today. We're losing our focus. And our focus is on me and what I want to do all the time. Not once in a while, all the time. In America, our focus is on about what I want to do, what makes me feel good, not on a kingdom focus. And you say, well, that's not happening in Mississippi. That wouldn't happen in Jones Chapel Church of God. Yes, it can happen. We cannot lose our focus. How about me, Jesus? What are you going to do for me? Look at the next slide. Would you focus on what Jesus has already done this morning? Now, I'm not saying life's not tough sometimes. I'm not saying we never have a question. Don't take me wrong. But I am asking you right here, right now, this morning, to focus on what Jesus has already done. Would you think about it in your own life just for a moment right now? We can say, well, Jesus came, miracle birth, virgin birth. Jesus grew up. He did these miracles. Jesus did all these things we read about in the Scripture. He died on Calvary's cross. He arose. And in the church world, we can just spit that out, can't we? We can make it roll off the end of our tongue. But think about it just a minute. Think about what Jesus has already done. He died for you. And he died for me. Oh, I heard that story. That's an old story. But it's still alive and well today. Jesus Christ has already done so much for us. And no, we don't always get our way. No, everything doesn't happen. Just like we say, if it was a perfect world, it would work this way. And sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes because of sin and because of life, we don't get it. We say, God in heaven, what's going on around us? That's part of being human too. But I want you this morning to focus just for a while on what Jesus has already done. What he's done for mankind. What he's done for the world. The Savior of the world. And now just for a moment, you can get off of the world and just come to yourself and focus on what Jesus has already done for you in a personal way. Oh, it'll bless your heart if you'll think about it a while. It'll bless your heart what he's done for me. How he blessed me as a young child. How he gave me parents that loved me. How he gave me a grandmother that really would get you by yourself and talk to you about Jesus. How he's blessed me in life with all sorts of things. I mean, we could go on forever and ever. Don't forget the blessings of God. Don't forget the blessings of God. Focus on what Jesus has already done. The next slide says, focus on what he promises to continue to do. Focus on what Jesus has promised to continue to do. Well, I'm 2 years old today, or I'm 10, or I'm a preteen, or I'm a teenager, or I'm in my 20s, I'm in my 30s, and I'm raising a family, or I'm whatever, I'm in my 80s now, or I'm almost 90. It doesn't matter what age you are. Focus on what promises that he has to you. Continue to think about what Jesus said he would continue to do. Think about the promises of the Word of God and get out of the rut. Get out of the funk. Get out of the whatever that we're in and say, listen, this is who Jesus Christ is. This is what he's already done. This is what he promises to continue to do as long as I live. No matter what the world says, no matter what comes my way. See, when people lose their focus, as they did here, or even us, or the church in America, things go wrong. Today, there's a big event happening. Today, there's a ball game that's going to happen. And if the Patriots or the Falcons, if one of them lose their focus, bad things will happen. So we cannot, as individuals, lose our focus. We cannot get it off the cross of Calvary. We can't get our focus off of Jesus. See, in these five verses right here, I mean, the focus was lost quickly. But we're going to remember the cross. We're going to remember the resurrection. That's going to throw him off the cliff. But it says, but he passed through the midst of them on his way. The good news starts with the cross. Now, life's important. Everything you like is important. The activities that you're in are important. I realize that. And I'm not trying to put a downgrade on all your activities, but I say to you that the kingdom of God, God himself should be first in everybody's life that calls themselves a Christian. Boy, that's weak, ain't it? That God needs to be first in our lives if we call ourselves a Christian. We can't forget the cross. We can't forget the suffering of Jesus Christ and the suffering of our brothers and sisters around this world. Man, we've got it good. Could you say amen to that? We've got it good. I didn't have anybody pointing a gun at me today for coming to church. I didn't have anybody threaten to kill me because I worship Jesus Christ. I mean, I just got up and had me a cup of coffee and talked a while and you know, checked on Judy, and she's not doing too good. And come on up here and just happy. Not threatened in any way, shape, or form. You see, we got to focus on the cross. And now, did Jesus say, it'd really be good if Jesus said, okay, if you're a Christian, you will never face any kind of problems in life anymore. Did Jesus say that? He didn't say that. Matter of fact, he warned us over and over and over in his word that there would be difficult times. There'd be times that we didn't understand. So, what am I going to do? Well, I am suffering, preacher. I am in trouble, and I am asking Jesus to help me. That's a good thing. And I'm here to tell you that he's going to if you're his child. He's going to help you now, but I want it my way. I want God's help my way on my timetable. And God says, no. I know a little bit more than you do, Ron. That's an understatement. And I will help you my way in my time. Now you trust me. And there's some things, oh, I'm so good at trusting God in A, B, C, and D. But he always throws one in over here that it's hard for me to trust. And you say, well, what's wrong with you? You're the preacher. Don't make much difference. One will be over here that it's hard or harder to trust in than all these over here. But he still asked me to trust. And I hope that I will be what he wants me to be. If you're suffering through something right now, and you kind of feel like these people did, and what about me? I guarantee you, God's not left you. I guarantee you, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is with you. Well, I feel it. He's with me today. Tomorrow, I don't feel it. He's still with you. Whether you feel it, whether you don't feel it, He's with you. If He is your Savior and Lord and you're His child, He's with you. And He says, okay, something that you feel is bad is happening to you right now. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to suffer with you. I'm going to walk through the problem with you. I'm going to be beside you. I'm going to help you through. I'm with you. And He says that to us in things we don't even understand. He's going to be with us. And that ought to help us. That ought to give us the comfort. And that I'm going to make it with the Lord's help. There's an old country song, John Michael Montgomery, and he called it The Little Girl. And it's sad, and you've probably heard it. But the song talks about this poor little girl, and her life is terrible because of her parents. And her mom and dad drink and take drugs and everything else. And one night the daddy comes home drunk, and he shoots the mother and then shoots himself. And this little girl's behind the couch. And they go on and she gets adopted. And then this family who adopts her takes her to Sunday school the first time. And they're in Sunday school class, and she sees Jesus on the cross there in a picture, and she says to the teacher, I know that man. I know he's not on that cross anymore, because the night my mom and dad died, he was holding me behind the couch. Now, you know what country songs are. You might like them, you might not like them, but it's got a pretty good punchline. You know, he was holding me that night. I submit to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ cares for you. And when all is well with you and you feel so good, He's with you. And when you're in the deepest valley in the whole of life and things seem to be falling apart, He is with you. And there's some things I don't understand. And I'm sure there's some things in life you don't understand. But He is with you. The last slide this morning says the cross is the greatest news in the history of the world. You want to talk about a Super Bowl event? You want to talk about a big happening? You want to talk about the Super Bowls of Super Bowls? The cross is the greatest news in the history of the world. Let's take it in. Let's thank Him for it. And let's remember that right now we're looking through that glass darkly, the Scripture says. We can't see as clear as we want to, but one day we will see clearly. And one day we will see God face to face. And we may understand a little bit more. Don't get so caught up in the questions of life, because I guarantee you Jesus has already accomplished everything He needs to accomplish for you to have a great life. And yes, we have to deal with some things because of sin, but God loves you no matter where you're at today. Take hold of it. Know it, and don't lose your focus on what's true, on what's important, what's first in your life, and what should be first in your life. Don't lose your focus. Would you stand with me this morning? If Jesus was here standing before you today and He said, what do you need me to help you with? Or what do you need me to bring into focus in your life today? What would you tell Him? If He says, what do you need me to help you get into focus? What would you tell Him? What is the devil lying to you about this morning? What's the devil lying to you about today? What thoughts is he putting in your mind? What doubt is the devil putting in your mind today? What kind of discouragement? Focus on Christ. And whatever that means for all of us here today, I pray we'll do it. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for big events in history. We thank you for all the things we've experienced in life. And oh, so many of them has been so great. A few of them has been devastating. But God, we are convinced that you're on your throne today. We're convinced that Jesus is the Savior of the world and loves us and will never leave us or forsake us. But sometime, Lord, in all honesty, life can be just plain hard. We just don't understand some things. We are truly looking through that glass darkly. So, Lord, only you know where we're all at today. We're not here judging people. We're just saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Come to all of us, not one or two today, but God, we would pray that the Spirit of God would fall on every soul in the building. And if we're out of focus any place in life, that you would gently refocus us. Would you help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, Father in heaven? Because you are here today. You are here in spirit and you are asking us, what can I help you get into focus today? So here we are in your presence asking your Spirit to speak directly to us. And we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.